Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, aka your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for the Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with DNZ IMD, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The Jets stink. Tyreek almost gets arrested. And Joe Burrow shits the bed. We'll begin today with big football show, of course. We got tons of games, tons of things to talk about. But we'll begin with the New York Giants. I think Giants fans were hopeful that this was the 100th season. New year, Malik Nabers, new Daniel Jones. Unfortunately, we saw more of the same from the Giants offense. Jones was missing throws. Daboll was calling quarterback sweeps for a guy coming off an ACL injury. And the no touchdowns in the first quarter streak continues for a second year. Defense was no better. Kayvon Thibodeau and Spider-Man middle linebacker Burns was missing in action. Really didn't do anything to the game. Minnesota Vikings had their way. Sam Darnold looked like, wow, okay, you've played here before. So, Z, as the Giant fan, as the resident Giant fan, should we have cause for concern, or, you know, can Daniel Jones right this ship?
Before we go off on the fact that the inevitable Sam Darnold is good argument, let's just talk about the fact he's going to play the Niners next week, who destroyed the Jets. So let's just temper that right now before we even start.
Man, Daniel Jones wins that. Imagine he wins that game.
That would be interesting.
He does play well in the beginning of the season. Even when I think he was with Carolina, they won like their first three or four games, and then the tape was out on Sam Darnold.
They've seen me again. So that's the calling card of a veteran backup quarterback. You can get away with it for a couple weeks.
Right.
So that was his one. We'll see what happens. But the story is Daniel Jones. He's fucking terrible. I'm sorry. He is not a good quarterback. Yes, he has arm talent. He can throw the ball. But if the conditions have to be perfect, and if Daniel Jones needs an absolutely clean pocket, if Daniel Jones needs just a vanilla defense to be successful, this ain't the job for you. It's just not. So we're looking at it, right? You, me, and Danny, the other resident Giant fan, along with the lovely Rita Sanchez, the three of us had a consensus conversation here. Daniel Jones's confidence is shot. He's throwing the ball into the feet of his receivers. He's taking too long to get rid of the ball. When he's running, he's not running confidently. He's running to avoid getting injured again. And that pick to Andrew Van Ginkle.
That was bad.
Like, that's fucking atrocious, bro.
It's embarrassing.
You got the dude he's a giant with Thor-like blonde hair. You can't miss him. How can you? That's just an atrocious throw. But as bad as Daniel Jones was, right? 186 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, 52% completion. That defense.
Dexter Lawrence played well.
Dexter Lawrence played well. Okay.
Probably a top three defensive tackle in the league.
He's one of the best nose tackles in the league. Like, he's a run stuffer. It's what he does. Like, Dexter Lawrence is one of the best at what he does. Everybody else is practically a no-show. Sam Darnold carved up the Giants. At one point, he was 12 for 12. That's all you need to know. Now, is that defensive scheme? Because it's not Wink Martindale anymore, right? They didn't blitz as much as they did with Wink. They didn't. That being said, Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson, they were torching the Giants defense. And they were terrible. They were absolutely terrible. Adoree Jackson made a tackle.
He made a tackle.
A tackle one. So it was just an absolutely flat performance on a day that they could not afford to have a flat performance, considering the expectations that you need to move this franchise forward. You need to start having expectations for this team, right? It can't just be that, oh, we're growing and developing. Daniel Jones is going to get... No. At some point, you need to hold this guy's feet to the fire. And I thought that's what the Drew Lock signing was, right? Drew Lock going to fucking take your job. At no point did Drew Lock even warm up. How is that possible?
So I don't want no part of this, guys.
It's like, nah. No,
you did this on your own, man. No. Danny, it's all you, buddy.
It's like, you know, I saw enough. The fans saw enough.
Yeah.
I'm sure coach saw enough. It's like, at what point are you like, what? We need to salvage the fucking season, and the game's not even over in week one yet. That's a problem. Now, a highlight. I will give you a highlight.
Whoa.
Neighbors look pretty good. Mm. When he got the ball, Neighbors look pretty good. Wandale Robinson, he looked explosive. So, like, they got to integrate him, jet sweeps. They have to keep trying to do that, utilize his speed. They still don't have a tight end or one that they're willing to throw the ball to. Daniel Bellinger only had a couple targets. But Devin Singletary ran the ball pretty well, and that offensive line was opening holes for him. There's something to be said for that. So you're going to take some positives. Those are the positives you're going to take. Everything else you burn. Everything else you burn with fire. But Daniel Jones, how long? What's his leash? Is it 0-3? 0-4? When do you... You know, Giants fans are saying now. Giants fans were heckling him on the way out of MetLife. So that's all you need to know about Daniel Jones' standing in the organization. He's a step above Dave Brown. Because at least Daniel Jones won a playoff game. So it's not a great way to start the season. And, you know, back to the drawing board. That's all you can say.
I wasn't particularly thrilled with the game plan. I wasn't particularly thrilled with Brian Daboll's play calling.
No, and just to go with that, he coaches like he has Josh Allen.
Yeah. Well, that's what he knows. That's what was successful. And, you know, there's no reason why Daniel Jones can't be that good, right? If you're Brian Daboll, he was taken in the first round. He's big. He's athletic. He can throw the ball. There's no reason why you can't think like that. I mean, my whole thing is like you were in training camp with Daniel Jones. You were in practice all the days leading up to this game. And this is what you decided to roll with. And I don't know if that was really the best formula there. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, the whole thing is if you're Joe Shane, you said you were going to give him a chance, right? So, you know, we all talk now that there is no preseason. The first couple of games are really the preseason. So I think the first two games he gets a pass, and then we start judging him on the next two. And then you let him, I don't know. I think it has to go five or six games because, listen, you're not winning the Super Bowl. You didn't think you were going to win the Super Bowl this year, right? This year was about finding out is Daniel Jones the quarterback of the future, or do we need to draft a quarterback next year? And my whole thing is just play him. Play him. Drew Lock can come and play when Daniel gets hurt. But other than that, just play him. You're not winning the Super Bowl with this team. And if you're going to draft a quarterback next year, you might as well have a top pick for it. That guy, Ewers, is probably coming out. There's a lot of guys coming out that are going to be very good next year. So,
Arch Manning.
Yeah. And then
another Manning in New York. That would be interesting.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, so it's like it is whatever. But can we talk about the garbage that was played last night? The all gas, no breaks New York Jets.
I got gas watching that game. I got gas
watching. That's what the 49ers did to you. They were all gas and no breaks on your ass with a backup quarterback. And Salah's still touting the same.
Oh, stop with that. Stop with that Brock Purdy.
Just stop. Just touting the same line. Oh, we're going to get better and I'm not concerned. Motherfucker, you should be concerned. They scored on their first eight possessions. Eight straight possessions they scored on you.
Yeah.
There was no pass rush. Brock Purdy didn't score a touchdown, didn't have an interception. But he also didn't hit the ground. Where was everybody? And Aaron Rodgers threw it to only three players the whole game. That's not going to work.
He was on the field for 21 snaps, I believe. Something really ridiculous. Like
20? No, it was 21 minutes.
21 minutes. 21 minutes.
He was on the field for 21 minutes, and the 49ers had the ball for 38. But this is garbage. Just come out and say we got our asses kicked.
Can't do
we
that.
We suck tonight. Like
can't do that.
Why he can't? He can't say that. He cannot. No. He and it's all. Oh, we're this close. We're that close. You don't see it, but I see it. We're that close. I've been hearing this for four fucking years now, dude.
So who is that? You know, it's Aaron Boone. Like it's Aaron fucking Boone. We're this close. We're just about to turn the corner, and when we do, oh, watch out.
But the other part is like you told us that this team was had a championship defense. Where? Where is the championship defense, Robert?
He's holding out. The only guy who's got a ring is holding out.
And if I was him, I wouldn't even come back. Keep the money, keep it all. I'll wait. I'll fucking wait. I don't want to be a part of this. Because now he holds all the cards. Z, if they lose this weekend in Tennessee, and the Patriots somehow beat Seattle at home, you're setting up a 2-0 Patriot team against an 0-2 Jet team for the Jets' home opener.
Oh, Christ.
And if they lose that game...
He's out. He's out.
You can't lose. I mean, there has to be... Because Tennessee played defense this weekend. They didn't do well offensively, but they played defense this weekend. There is a chance that they are going to get their asses kicked in Tennessee if they don't get their shit together. They could go to Tennessee and lose that game because you thought undrafted free agent Mason ran wild. Wait till Pollard gets the ball and Tajay Spears gets the ball. Those guys were drafted. They are professional running backs.
Right.
You are going to be chasing them all game and their quarterback can't throw. It's just unbelievable the unaccountability of it all. Just be accountable, man. Just say, man, we got our asses kicked today. They're better than us, and we've got to figure it out. We'll get there. I'm optimistic. Things are okay. It's one game. Not my man. Say that for somebody who wants to listen to that shit.
Yeah, but how many times have we heard it? Like you said,
I'm tired of hearing it, and the interesting thing is the Jets fans are finally getting tired of hearing it. It took this long, but they're finally like, well, wait a minute, man. Everybody thought they had a chance last night. Every Jet fan that I talked to felt that they had a chance last night, and you come away from that game, you were getting scrubbed until the fourth quarter when you scored a touchdown to make it look good. But it was not. None of it was good.
Brees Hall didn't look good. Aaron Rodgers didn't look good. Your
He's
defense
fumbling
didn't
the ball
look...
within the 20-yard line, man. What are you doing, dude?
No.
What are you doing? And this, Aaron staring down receivers. He's trying to scramble, and he looks old. I don't know, man. But listen, the season actually opened up on Thursday with the Chiefs taking on the Baltimore Ravens. The Chiefs only won by a touchdown, but it did come down to the final possession and a little bit of controversy, depending on who you support. Will these two teams meet again in the AFC Championship game?
Considering the fact that I have the Houston Texans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game, I'm going to go with no. But that game really underscored it for me, because what do we always say about the running game? Who cannot be your leading rusher?
Your quarterback.
16 carries for 122 yards.
He was running for his life, though. These weren't design runs. These were like, oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, he wasn't changing.
Nobody's open. I got to get out of here. Like, he was running for his life the whole freaking game. I don't know if the Chiefs' defense got better, but they were after his ass.
So he had three times as many yards as Derrick Henry.
They went and got that guy.
But here's the thing. You want to talk about game plan. They marched down the field to start the game, right? Derrick Henry was in there. They were feeding him. And then he ended up in the end zone. And then he dis-a-fucking-peered. He had five rushes on the opening drive, and then he had eight for the rest of the game.
Yep.
You had two design runs for Zay Flowers. You had one for Justice Hill. And Lamar Jackson was the bell cow. Now, that's a recipe for disaster. That's an absolute recipe for disaster. Because you know who else got better? The Chiefs have a good pass rush. The Texans have a better one. The Texans have a better one. Anderson and Hunter, they have a better one. Mm-hmm. So if the Bengals can get their shit together, they have a pretty good pass rush. So the Dolphins, they have a pretty good defense. It kind of gets lost in the high-octane offense, but the Dolphins can play some defense. Mm-hmm. So I don't think so. The same old warts. You know, we like to talk about same old Jets. Same old Ravens. The same old Ravens showed up. The lack of discipline, the chippiness, the mouthiness at the worst fucking possible time. I mean, great game for Isaiah Likely. 9 for 111 and a touchdown. But nah, you can't be running your mouth like that if that's the best they got. No, we know the best they have, because they're the two-time back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
So, you know, no, we know what they are. Yeah. We know what they got.
Yeah.
So no, you got to prove. You're the one who has to prove yourself, not them. You. Right.
No, I liked. I liked with the Chiefs looked dangerous offensively. Their offense looked better this year than it did last year. They've got that worthy kid is fast.
Yeah.
You got Rice, who's catching fastballs and getting upfield. They now all three of their tight ends, Gray, Watson, Kelsey in the mix. I love how they have athletic tight ends, you know, that run routes and play the field.
Yeah. And Kelsey didn't even get off. He was 3 for 34. That's
their defense. Their defense looked a lot better. Chennault, the linebacker, number 54.
Yeah.
He was all over the place. Chris Jones was a disruptor, as he always is. On the backside, they might get toasted, but they'll always be able to be in games because of Patrick Mahomes. So for the Chiefs, I mean, I think they're there. I don't see how they don't get there. On the Ravens side, I know, Lamar was running for his life, but I do like the game plan. I do like how they went with Likely, and he did it. He did great. And I know you. I agree with you. They should have ran Derrick Henry more. But it was It was the first game, and to be within a touchdown of beating the defending champions on the road with less than 4 minutes to go, you can't ask for more than that if you're a Ravens fan. Like you were in position to beat these guys, or at least bring them to overtime, despite how terrible the offensive line played, despite not giving Derrick Henry the ball more. Like, they're still working some things out. Todd Monken gets in these things where he wants to throw. But I do, you know, the whole thing is the receiver situation. You know, Bateman wasn't really getting such separation. It can't be all Andrews and Likely. So I don't think it'll be a rematch, but as a Ravens fan, I like the game plan, but I'm very concerned with the offensive line.
Now, the offensive line is definitely a problem if he's going to have to cut and run every time. He only got sacked. They were only credited with one sack on him.
But they were there, man.
They were there all the time.
They were there. They were disrupting everything. And he was a runner. He was athletic. And he wasn't taking shots, which is what you always want. But no, it was a nice opening night. And like you said, they got the ball. They marched downfield. They scored. You know, no sweat. They don't sweat the Chiefs. But the Chiefs, they're going to get Hollywood Brown back. Damn, like they're going to be explosive. They're definitely going to be there. But we had three rookie quarterbacks start over the weekend. If you had to start, bench, and cut one of the rookie quarterbacks over the weekend, what would you do? So basically, it's like a bench, start, cut. You know, it's this. So you pick what you would do with those rookie guys you started this weekend.
Well, you gotta like, even in defeat, you kind of have to like what you saw from Jaden Daniels. He seemed to have control of what was going on. He didn't get in the end zone, but
you starting him or you're cutting him?
Well, I'm going through it. Let me work my process. Now, Caleb Williams gave you, like, he was okay. Like, he wasn't 94 yards. Like, eh. The Chicago Bears defense won that game.
If the Titans just punted on first down for the whole fucking game, they would have won the game.
Well, it's like if they entrusted their special teams, and then, you know, you got to argue that Bo Nix had the worst game of the day. So you got to go, you know, 138, less than 62% completion, two picks. Adios, muchacho. So if that's the case, based on those numbers and what I saw and command and like the dynamism of the game, I'm starting Daniels. I'm benching Caleb Williams and Bo Nix. You're going to find another team. Wow. So just based on that, but let's be real here, for the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams didn't really light the world on fire. So he's got to show more. He's definitely got to, he's got to step up his game some. Now, Jaden Daniels, he's already in conflict with Dan Quinn. So that's nice. So, you know, Jaden Daniels has the wheels. He knows how to run. It's what he does. And, you know, Coach Quinn is not happy about that. They want him to stay in there and be a passer more. So, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of have to manage his athleticism, but at the same time, he wasn't reckless about it. It wasn't a case where, you know, he was only running. It wasn't there. He took off, right? That's what you should be doing as a mobile quarterback. You're trying to matriculate the ball down the field, but if it's not there, my best asset are my legs. My best ass is my legs. So you do it. Go with it. That's fine. But that's a little odd that Daniels and Quinn are already at loggerheads about that. But what about you? What's your order?
I actually see it a lot differently than you. And I'm a big Caleb Williams guy, but he's got to get some more zip on that ball. I don't see how he's going to throw passes in Chicago in December, November, throwing like that. You have a star-studded offense, and nobody really got going. I mean, he had one good pass to Keenan Allen, but other than that, like, nobody really got involved in the passing game. And his throws, it was under 100 yards. It was like watching Bryce Young out there. It was like, ugh, it looked terrible. Now, nobody's Jaden like Daniels.
Nobody's like watching Bryce Young out there. Right?
I'm fucking cutting Keita Williams. Oof. Now, Jaden Daniels, he looked good. The problem I had with him was it took him a while to get Scary Terry involved. And he was quick, like Dan Quinn was probably saying. He's if his first read wasn't there, he was looking to run. He was a very good runner, and he got down, which was great. He didn't take any big shots. I think he scored 2 touchdowns. But, son, I need you to stay in the pocket. And we have really good receivers. I think Scary Terry is one of the best receivers in the NFL. Get him the ball. You got to get him going. Brian Robinson is a great running back. So is Austin Eckler. They contributed very nicely to the offense. They put up 20 points. I mean, they played pretty good. Just Baker was having himself a day. And contrary to you, I thought Bo Nix looked the best because, yeah, he threw an interception. He wasn't sharp, but he stood in the pocket. And what you can see him going through all his progressions and then deciding to run or then deciding to play, to make a play and getting rid of the ball, going down, not taking shots. He himself, I think he threw 1 touchdown and I think he ran in for another one. He's a big dude too. And he fit the profile. He's like what I want for my quarterback. Like Jaden Daniels is a scrawny guy. So is Caleb Williams. But I mean, Bo Nix is a big dude, 6'4". 225, 250, 230. He looked good. So he looked the part. So I was happy with what he did. And I think Denver's going to be okay.
So again, we had the issue of your quarterback being the leading rusher in all these cases.
Yeah.
So that's an issue.
But Brian Robinson had some nice runs. He had some nice catches. Like I think that'll get going as the season goes on. I mean, Jaden Daniels is no RG3, right? And I didn't watch. I can't remember what was going on with the running game for the Denver Broncos, but you know they have a decent runner there too. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, well, what happened was that the Seahawks happened because you have Jaleel McLaughlin 10 for 27, Javonte Williams only had 8 carries, man. Javonte Williams needs to be the bell cow. He needs to be the engine of this offense.
It's kind of surprising, too, because Peyton was all about, like, running the ball and getting the ball to backs in space. Where, you know, and he had Reggie Bush and even with Alvin Kamara.
Right. Who is that guy on this team? Who's going to be that Reggie Bush, Alvin Kamara?
It's got to be Javonte Williams. I mean, it's got to be who you're going to be.
He's probably your between the tackles runner, though. Like, he's going to – I mean – he had 2 targets, 1 catch for 0 yards. So either they abandoned that very quickly or that's really not Javonte Williams' bread and butter. So, you know, you got to know your talent
at
this point
and
what works.
Delivering the ball with confidence, you know, and he's putting some oomph into it. You could see Courtland Sutton really catching some passes and they were some bullets, you know.
Yeah, so that's all fine and dandy, but you got to get the ball in the end zone and to your own team, not the other team. Yes. So that's going to be an issue.
Usually how football works.
That's usually how football works. Score more than the other team does and don't give them the ball.
Don't throw them the ball.
For God's sake, don't throw them the fucking ball. But, you know, you at least have to do something with the ball. And that's what Caleb Williams is kind of like. You're starting.
Oh, you definitely gotta get some zip on that ball, dude. You gotta throw it hard and far. You gotta have that Jay Cutler arm. You gotta have that Josh Allen arm. You gotta really muscle that shit.
In the Chicago winter, absolutely.
The Saint, the West Coast, dude. Like you gotta really embrace that wind, throw into it, and put some gas behind it. But man, it did not look strong.
It didn't look strong, but at the same time, like, there also wasn't the interception issue. He did lose a fumble. He did. The ball security is definitely going to be a question. So that's something that you need to watch moving forward. But yeah, I just of the three, like, I was very high on Jaden Daniels at the draft. So I really thought he was going to, you know, I wanted him on the Giants if they somehow, if it could somehow happen, if it, if everything broke right, I'm still happy with the neighbor's pick. But like, he's not RG3, but he's pretty electric. He's a pretty electric talent. He just needs to harness it. But I mean, that'll come. I mean, that'll definitely come in due time. But
like, you could also see why the Giants wouldn't have taken him, right? Because there's nobody electric to throw the ball to if you take Jaden Daniels.
Well, there's nobody electric. You throw the ball. Well, it's, you know, you're not ready for that. The contract. And then next year when we get Shedeur Sanders, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. No, I'm not a fan.
Dallas.
If he is, he's going to be holding the clipboard for a very long time because Dak Prescott just got paid again. Ooh. So unless he's going to learn another position. So I mean, your guess is as good as mine on that one. But yeah, no, I can see what you're saying. Like the Giants committed to Daniel Jones, unfortunately. And
it's not unfortunately. I mean, this was something. I mean, listen,
Would you say he's had
a fair shake? I don't think he's had a fair shake.
He has gotten his chance to play. He has not made chicken salad out of chicken shit. Like, you got the opportunity and you didn't do anything with it.
I don't know a lot of quarterbacks that have really blossomed with garbage around them. Like, he hasn't had any help. He's not that good to overcome your best receiver being Wandale Robinson for the last 2 years. Like, and being hurt and having terrible play callers and terrible coaching. Like give him a shot. Let's, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to just shut him out yet.
He's gone. Goodbye. So that's all we have to say about that.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. Air Care Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact Air Care Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547.
But there were some serious issues beyond rookie struggling and Daniel Jones shitting the bed and, you know, Aaron Rodgers looking like he was ancient. A serious matter occurred prior to the start of the Dolphins game where star receiver Tyreek Hill was detained. So was Calais Campbell and Jonnu Smith. So Hill was detained after failing to comply with Dade County officers during a traffic stop. Campbell and Smith intervened on Hill's behalf and were also detained. Body cam is available for everybody to see. Now there's edited versions and there's the full version out. And it does not look good for the cops. What are your thoughts on the altercation Tyreek Hill had with the police? Because I gotta say, like when I saw this, I'm like, aren't they at home? I was like, okay, if it's Duval, okay, a Duval cop is fucking with, right? Because they were playing the Jags, right? I'm thinking, okay, a Duval cop is fucking with the Dolphins, but no, this is at home. This is at home.
Listen, I'm a strong believer in respecting authority and doing what you're asked to do. You know, and that's the weirdest thing is like we could both look at a video and have completely different opinions on it. Like I saw a guy not complying with what police were asking him to do. I know he's Tyreek Hill, but in a traffic stop, if you take my license and then I put up my window where I have tinted windows, what am I doing in the car? What am I going for? What's happening? Like, if you're a cop, you don't know. It's very serious. And then when you tell him to pull down his window, then he gets aggressive and nasty with you. And you're like, wait a minute. I pulled you over. because you were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing. I asked you for your license. I told you not to roll down your window, and now you're not complying with me. You know what? Get out of the car. Because now this is just getting serious, because I don't know what you're hiding. I don't know what you're doing. Like, I have to take control of the situation, you know? And do I think it was a little forceful when they put him on the ground? Maybe, but I wasn't there to take the temperature of the situation. And I don't know what that cop has been through or what he's done in his life there. So I don't know what was happening. But I know that they were taking it seriously and they felt like he wasn't. So I think it could be also fair to say that they're both wrong. There's wrong things going on both sides. Maybe the cops were a little too forceful, but maybe he should have just did what he was asked to do from Jump Street, and it never would have escalated. It never would have got to the point where they're putting handcuffs on you. There's their part. They're telling him to sit down, sit down, sit down. And he starts talking about he just had surgery. It's like, dude, you're about to go play a football game. So if you can't sit down, but you can go run 40 yards on a football field, come on, man, just sit down. You know? So, and then you got Calais Campbell getting out of the car. Now, if you're stopping a guy and another car pulls in front and a guy as big as Calais Campbell gets out, now this is taking a huge turn. Now, you know, like, what is going on? Like, you get out of here. Like, what are you doing here? This is a traffic stop. You're not a part of this. Get in your car and get out of here. Then he starts asking for that guy's license. And then he doesn't want it. Now he's not complying. It's just like, guys, you shouldn't even be over here, man. It was like, so I don't know. I mean, like I said, I do agree that maybe they were a little excessive. But I was taught young, do as the officer tells you to do. Respect authority, and this will all go smooth. So, I don't know.
Well, there was definitely that escalation there, but on the part of the officer, there was continued escalation, continued physicality. So, that part was excessive, the physicality with which they were handling Tyreek Hill. Was Tyreek Hill being rude to the cop? Absolutely. However, being rude is not a crime. Being an asshole is not a crime, last time I checked. Might be on the statute someplace, but it's not criminal to be an asshole. Was Tyreek Hill rolling the window up continuously, like, okay. But a police officer is trained to de-escalate situations. And that situation at no point did anybody try to de-escalate. Right? At no point. He banged on the window more forcefully, pulled the McLaren door open, grabbed Tyreek Hill, and then his buddies get involved and start trying to manhandle him to the ground, and they do actually get him on his belly. So, you know, it's a bad look all the way around for Miami, for Dade County's finest. Yes, Tyreek Hill was being belligerent. Yes, Tyreek Hill was being rude. At no point was there an attempt to calm anybody down. So that was a failure all the way around on de-escalation training. So I'm thinking that the cops need to go into, you know, the cops are going to have, yeah, the cops are going to need to go do some seminars at the very least. Now the Dolphins are asking that suspensions and firings and pending an investigation. Eventually, they're more than likely the main culprit, the guy who initiated all this by banging on the window, as you do in a traffic stop, but it was a little...
Well, he banged on the window after Tyreek put the window up. Because, again, you don't know what he's doing when he puts his illegally black tinted windows up. And that's the thing. Like, that's why I think it went to another level, because you handed the license over... and then you rolled up your window, and I have no idea what you're doing in the car when you roll up your window. And then when I knock on the window until you roll it down, you're giving me attitude and you're not putting it down. So it makes me even more suspicious. So now it's like, get out of the car, because I got to see what happened. I got to know what's going on. I don't trust that next time when I give you my your license back that I might get shot or something might happen. That's the whole point. That's the whole thing. So that's why I'm saying I agree with you. You know, they need to de-escalate the situation. And I don't think they were trying their best to de-escalate the situation, but he did not make it easy on them.
No,
and just because
he did not.
He's Tyreek Hill doesn't mean that I'm not going to treat you like I would treat any other person who's doing what you're doing in this situation. You know? And
now
this is the other thing I'm trying to say is, like, when the other car pulls up, the game changes now. Because now the cops are feeling threatened. You got this 300-pound guy pulling over, getting out, and starting trouble while we're trying to handle the traffic stop in front of us. And that's when all bets are off. Now you can throw de-escalating out the window. And I thought, actually, when they did speak to Calais Campbell, they were actually being gracious and trying for him not to get in trouble. And they're like, sir, just get in your car and go. This does not involve you. Just get in your car and go. And he refused. And then when he refused, it's like, all right, give me your license. You're getting a citation now too. Like, we're telling you to get out of here and you're not listening. Like, nobody wanted to listen.
There's also, while you are correct, there is a rampant challenge to authority in our society, perceived authority or otherwise. There's also the disproportionate amount of African Americans, people of color, who are targeted by police. So, you know, you have that element too. And I grew up the same way you did. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. We'll get through this. But that doesn't always that applies to us. It's a double standard.
I have been pulled over many a time in my life, and I am happy to say that 80% of the time I was let go. And it was just because I was completely gracious and respectful of the officer. Cop car pulls me over, shut off my engine, put the keys on the roof of the car. Yes, sir. No, sir. And tell them exactly what happened. If I was speeding, I was going a little fast. I'm sorry I was going a little fast. I was trying to do this. I was trying to do that. I got to go home and take a shit. you know what? I really just need to get home. I had a rough day. Completely honest with the situation. Do better next time. Try not to go as fast. Be mindful of other people on the road. No problem, officer. Thank you. Drove away. No problem. Less than 10 minutes. But if when the cop comes over, I slow to roll down my window, I'm combative about giving them my license, give them my license, then put my window up, not answer them when they're telling me to put the window down. I'm asking for trouble, man. I'm asking for trouble. I'm asking for trouble. Even if I have nothing to hide, I've immediately made this more difficult. And that's it.
Need some last-minute fantasy football advice? Then the boys at the Fade Route have you covered. Check out Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with D and Z every NFL Sunday, noon Eastern, during the regular season. D and I give you our top 1-2-3 fantasy starts or green lights, and our top 1-2-3 fantasy sits or red lights. That's Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with D and Z every NFL Sunday, noon Eastern, during the regular season. That's Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with D and Z.
You know, aside from Tyreek Hill making things difficult on officers over the weekend, man, there was some bad football played on Sunday. The Cowboys made it extremely difficult for the Cleveland Browns. The Patriots made it extremely difficult for the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati, by the way. And the Panthers were blowed out by the Saints. So who suffered the most this weekend? Who suffered the most embarrassing loss over the weekend?
Let's also throw, let's lump the Falcons in there too. Let's throw them in there too.
Was that so? Why do you think that was so bad? What was wrong with that game?
Expectations, my friend.
But what expectations? Are the expectations? You are. This is another dude coming off of an ankle injury, an Achilles surgery. Like, what are we expecting him to do? What do you expect Kirk Cousins, who's never done anything in the fucking league, to do?
But that's my point. They pay him like he's done all sorts of fucking shit.
Everybody's still fucking drafting Kyle Pitts like he's going to all of a sudden become Rob Gronkowski. This is who he is.
Expectations changed the moment it went from Desmond Ridder to
who doesn't have a job, Kirk Cousins. By the way.
Well, Desmond Ridder's not that good. So,
I know, and I bought his rookie card.
Oh, jeez. So that
$250, a patch auto.
You might as well just let your money on fire. That's what you should.
Nothing. It's worth Ugats right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bengals, they got their butts kicked by Ramondre Stevenson on the ground. Jacoby Brissett didn't screw up.
Didn't do like, anything. That's,
right, but he didn't do anything. He didn't screw up. He wasn't great. He didn't need to be great. He just needed to not suck. And Jacoby Brissett, just steady Eddie. He did not suck.
Steady Eddie.
And you know, Joe Burrow did not have a bad game. Did not get in the end zone. That's a problem.
What are you talking about? Did not have a bad game. Are we looking at the same numbers here?
21-29, 164. No touchdowns.
That's good.
No picks.
That's good. What was he averaging per pass? Like 8 yards per pass?
Well, you're making it sound like he was had Caleb Williams' numbers. So,
if
no.
If Caleb Williams throws, well, how many passes did Caleb Williams complete?
So, let's get that. But you know what? The issue again is Burrow's protection. Sacked again. 3 times. That's a problem. So...
I was right. Eight yards per completion. That's horse trash. That's garbage. Not with Jamar Chase running around. What the hell are you doing? Get the ball downfield, Joe. You playing the Chiefs this weekend. You better get your shit together. You're playing in Kansas City, too. We used to call it, was it Arrow?
Burrowhead.
Oh, man.
No, that's over. Burrowhead's over.
That's over. That's over.
Burrowhead is over.
Chiefs think that's over?
The Chiefs know it's over because Burrowhead my ass, I believe was what, to quote Travis Kelce, Burrowhead my ass. So those are pedestrian numbers. They're not terrible numbers, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Bryce Young, atrocious. It's, you don't even... Don't even talk about the Saints. The Saints 47 is an aberration. They're never going to touch 47 again for the rest of the season. Maybe the next time they play Carolina. But Bryce Young is fucking atrocious. He doesn't look confident, doesn't look comfortable. Yeah, I get it. He's on his third head coach and he's entering his second season. That's a major league problem. But the proof's in the pudding. And this pudding is horrible. It's rotten. It's absolutely terrible. But the worst in terms of expectations versus reality has got to be the Browns. The Browns were the number one defense in the league last year. You pay Deshaun Watson like he's Jesus Christ. you pay him like
Does
he's...
Does Jesus make that much money?
He makes a lot of money. They make a lot of money.
And there comes the lawsuit.
Well, you mentioned the lawsuit. I wonder, did Deshaun Watson know he was being sued again before he went on the field?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that's another layer to this. So, yeah, you have the piss poor play, the defense getting exposed, Deshaun Watson playing like dog shit, and on top of that, he's facing another sexual assault allegation. That's a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad weekend for the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Billy, this is Deshaun Watson. We gave up 3 first-round picks for him, and he makes $230 million fully guaranteed. His defect is that he's a really bad at playing quarterback.
Sacked 6 times for 32 yards. Lost to 32 yards. So six times. He does not look anywhere close to the guy that they traded for. Now, is that rest and rust kind of situation? Did he wither when he was out suspended because he was a deviant? Most likely, yeah. But you figure he would have gotten some of it back. He has gotten none of it back. This is going to be a problem moving forward.
You know, I don't really know. I don't know, because when you watch that game, like, he was throwing passes, and they were so bad that the receivers were looking around and like, was he throwing to me on that one? Like, where is he throwing? And you got Amari Cooper, and you got Jerry Jeudy. You got guys. They had Njoku for most of that game. You got guys that could play.
Yeah.
And you couldn't deliver the football, dude. But I heard he looked bad in camp. I heard he didn't look right in camp. So I wasn't really surprised that he played bad, but I thought that the Browns defense would have been able to pick it up. But there's only so much that they could pick up. You know? It's like some point it's like, yeah, yo, you gotta keep us off the field, man. Like, you know, we can't keep going out here and doing this.
And then you see Baker put up 24-30 for 289 and 4 tutties, and you're like, shit.
Shit, I got a live chicken. The only thing I would say about that situation is his receivers are better, right? And he's been around a while. It's just clicking there. You know, I
will concede that they are better, but Deshaun Watson, he doesn't have nobodies. He's got Jeudy. He's got Cooper. He's got Elijah. He's got people. He just can't get them the ball.
There's no excuse for it. I mean, you almost question, is he on drugs? Like, what's happening here? Like, what are you? The same thing with Joe B. Like, Joe, like, what? I know you're impressed with his 8 yards per pass, but that's awful, dude. Like, that's not who you are. You're supposed to be Joe Scheisty, man. You're supposed to be the guy who got to the Super Bowl in his second year. You're supposed to be the guy that's going to beat Josh Allen, the guy that's going to beat Mahomes, and you can't even beat the Patriots without Tom at home. So, I don't know. I don't know. For me, I agree with you, though. The Browns was the most embarrassing one. I was telling everybody at work, well, that Browns defense is going to feast on the Cowboys. Starting two rookies on the offensive line, Myles Garrett's going to eat that up.
There's no reason why it didn't happen. There's no reason. There's no reason for it. Absolutely not. And you know what? We're going to find out about the Patriots. But maybe the Patriots aren't as bad as we think they are.
You know, man, I'm telling you, like I was saying earlier in the show, if they win this weekend and the Jets lose, and you're going to see the Jets playing the Patriots where the Jets are 0-2 and the Patriots are 2-0. Somebody's going to lose their job after that game.
Right? But, it's within the realm of possibility. I mean, this is week one. Week one is when the crazy shit happens. Week one and it's, then it's week really 18. That's it.
I'm telling you, it's going to be like the next 4 weeks. Like, I just think it's going to take time for them to get in a groove. Everyone just looks bad. Like, nobody looked crisp. The 49ers look crisp with a backup quarterback, but they've had that team together for how long now? Like, all those guys have been playing together for a while. Like, nothing's changed. You know what I mean? Oh, beautiful. Adley Rushman, two run RBIs. Yes.
Yeah.
There was awful football played on Saturday as well. There was awful football played on Sunday. There was awful football played on Saturday. Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame in South Bend, and Michigan got crushed by Texas in Michigan. Now, we couple this with the Florida State garbage, and, you know, our college teams making it easy since they see that, you know, they can get into the playoff. There's more teams in the playoff. Are they just cakewalking through the regular season now?
You hope not, because that's not...
It certainly seems that way. Seems like nobody really cares. We're like, all right, we got one loss. We're all right.
It's like nobody, yeah.
We just got to be a top 12 team. We're all right. We just got to get in. All we got to do is get in, right?
You got to put your best foot forward, though. You got to show up. You absolutely have to show up.
I'm sorry. I'm not for people losing their jobs, but I'm pretty sure Notre Dame paid Northern Illinois to come in there.
Yes.
And for you to lose to that team at home.
That's true.
By that score, people got to lose their job, man. Sorry, dude. Like, you got to lose your... You don't got to go, but you got to get the heck up on out of here. You can't... You can't keep your job. That's got to be the worst loss in the history of Notre Dame. That has to be one of the worst losses in their history. Besides the blowout in the national championship game, that's got to be up there. Northern Illinois. These kids were, like, not recruited by you, and they're in your area. Like...
Right. What? Like, that's the... That's the crux of everything. It's like the guys that you cast aside.
Right.
Now Michigan's number three in the country. Texas is number three in the country. They go into Michigan. They go into Ann Arbor. Okay. Like, that's at least comparable. Like, that kind of, you kind of can deal with that. Both of those teams you expect to be there. You know, you're actually scheduling a quality opponent. It's not, you know, Georgia, Tennessee Tech. So it's not cupcake you. So I can you can kind of work with Texas, Michigan. You can't. It's inexcusable for a team like Northern Illinois to come into your house when you're the number five team in the fucking country.
They were number five.
Number five in the country, bro. Nah, that's kind of- You can't do that. You can't do that. It's absolutely pathetic. It's a pathetic, pathetic performance. And they walked home with the winner's share of the purse. Like, that's the best part. You paid them. It's like, this is all fucking layup. You paid
them,
dude,
to come in there and kick your
dick. Yeah, this is it. And then Colorado too, and there were kind of like, there are cracks in the Shedeur Sanders, Deion Sanders armor.
Right.
Because the offensive line, Mr. Sanders threw them under the bus. But you just need to be there at the end. But how you get there matters. It absolutely matters. If you just beat up on Scribinos the entire time, like, that's not impressive. Right? I mean, you could argue... You absolutely could argue that Florida State is still in it, which is mind-boggling because they fell out of the top 25. Is there some mixed reaction? There are no mixed reactions. There are no mixed reactions. There are absolutely no mixed reactions. The teams that we expected to be good are good, and they're kicking the heads in of the people that we expect them to kick their heads in, with the exception of Notre Dame. Now, Northwestern losing a double overtime to Duke is surprising, but, you know, you figure Ohio State, perfect example. Ohio State schedules Western Michigan 56-0, just beat the shit out of them and sent them packing. Like, Ohio State is doing what they're supposed to be doing.
The only thing I would say about the Michigan game is, like, you're the defending national champions. You let Texas come into the big house and you can't even score a touchdown. Like, you didn't, you know, that's my only problem with the Michigan thing. Like, it took so long just for them to get a touchdown. Like, come on.
That's fair. That is very fair. And, you know, there's something to be said. Michigan is replacing Harbaugh, and you have another year of continuity with Ewers and Manning in Texas. Texas looks good. Like, Texas absolutely looks good. It wouldn't surprise me if they're in the top, if they're in the top tier for the remainder of the year. But this is when you should be making the case. And then as your season gets tougher, you should be kind of differentiating yourself from everybody else. And yeah, I think people are just comfortable. I think you're absolutely right. The expansion of the playoffs, it's taking the urgency away. Like, oh, I can have two losses and I can still be in this thing. I just need to be in the top 12. It's different than baseball. It's absolutely different than baseball. A hot month won't guarantee you anything in college football, because if you were shit in September, but had a really good November, they are still going to take into account the fact that you were shit in September.
But the whole thing is like, this is what they're not realizing is ruining things, is that if, you know, it used to be perfection, right, in college football or close to it. Now it's like, I could go 12-0 or 11-0, and then I can wind up facing a team that, you know, maybe had two losses or three losses, but they've had losses. They've faced that adversity, and now they're kicking my ass, and they shouldn't even be here. That's the problem they're going to run into. Like, imagine, like, a team like Georgia. Like, Georgia is so good, right, that you pray for them back in the day, like 2 or 3 years ago, you would pray for them to get at least one or two losses, because that means you got a chance. Like, you got a chance to get to the national championship and not have to face Georgia, right?
Exactly.
And now that changes, because now Georgia, as good as they are, they can have one or two losses and still be like a 4 seed or a 6 seed or an 8 seed. And now if you're an 8 seed and you're facing, like, eventually facing a 1, come on, man. Like, and you're gonna face Georgia? Like, come on. Mm-hmm.
The door is wide open. The door is absolutely wide open, and we're gonna see mediocre teams, because that's what this is. Like, in college football, if you have two losses, you're like a mediocre team. That's pretty, like, damning of the whole thing. But you're going to see teams like we talked about Florida State. We talked about, in the past, Cincinnati. We've talked about teams that you are making, you have a difficult time making an argument for now as sure things. Right? In the past, it's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe they'll make the playoffs. Maybe they'll be in a higher-end bowl game. Nope, you're in.
You're in. You're in. Everybody gets in.
You're in.
Come on in.
You are in. So that's
like
the nature of the beast.
Hall of Fame. Everybody gets in. Come on, everybody. We think everybody. Everybody.
But that's the nature of the beast right now, man. Like, that's the case. It's expanded. Everything is expanded, and it doesn't necessarily make for better. You know, it just, all it does, it just works towards a money grab. And that's what college football and college athletics has become. It's your big cash grab, and then you'll get your big cash grab when you get to the pros, if you're good enough to get to the pros. This is your first stop on the way. So we got to hope for a better product coming down the pipe, just like we're hoping for the NFL to kind of get their sea legs under them. You hope that things kind of get better in college football, but I mean, the system isn't changing, but all you can hope for is that the games at least get better.
You can't help but just smile when you see a balloon. Popstarsballoons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Pop Stars balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Pop Stars balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
Fair or foul, judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either a fair statement or a foul statement. Let's get going. Fair or foul? Number one, Justin Verlander should be left off the Astros postseason roster.
Man, this is a tough one because Justin's my guy. I love JV, man. But, I mean, 41 years old. Was he 2 years right now removed from Tommy John surgery? We got him. He's 3-6 with a 5.30 ERA, man. We don't need none of that. We don't need none of that in the playoffs. You think it's going to get better? The only way you're going to keep him on is if you got a plan. Like, he's going to pitch 3 or 4 innings. Like, he's not going to go 8 or 7. So, I would say keep him off. So, I would say it is a fair statement.
Well, there are 11 games over 500 currently. You're looking at Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Kikuchi, and Spencer Arrigetti. Those are the guys behind Justin Verlander. If you have to start those four guys in a best of 5 or a best of 7 series, that's not exactly awe-inspiring. So I think you got to keep them. I'm going to say it's foul. Like, just like you said, I think you have to strategically use him. Okay, Justin, on this team, you are an opener. Give us what you have, and we'll back you up. We understand you're 41, you're injured, you know, your body is breaking down. We will support you as best we can. Just stick with the game plan. The guy who was throwing 98 in the 7th inning after throwing 92 in the 1st inning, like, he's gone. Right? Now you got to make him work for you. Now you have to kind of fit him into the framework. The Astros rotation isn't great with him, and it's certainly not great without him. So they could get hot. They could definitely make a run. This Astros roster isn't as formidable as seasons past. So we'll see how far they get. But I think he needs to be an integral part of that playoff push. And he needs to be an integral part of that playoff roster. Besides, those innings don't count. So the Mets still are off the hook. So I'm fine with that. Speaking of the Mets, fair or foul, number two, Francisco Lindor should win the MVP award over Shohei Ohtani.
It's foul. It's foul. I mean, Ohtani's about to do something that's, like, never been done before. He could become a 50-50 guy. I know he's only hitting, but he is impacting the Dodgers to the level of he is their most valuable player. Now, Lindor is having his best season as a Met. But, I mean, the Mets are still all right. And I would even argue that Pete Alonso is their best player overall. So I am going with foul.
Okay. So you can make an argument for Francisco Lindor. If Shohei Ohtani is a 50-50 guy, there is no way in hell that Francisco Lindor is going to get it. But you can make a case for him. Not only because of the defense. He does play stellar defense. What hurts him is April. If he played at this clip the entire season, we just talked about college football, right? They care about what you do in September. The people voting for MVP care about what you do in April. It has to be a whole season long process. Otani's got him beat in every offensive category, except for games played and plate appearances. Otani's got him beat. However, what Lindor does should be taken into account. And it wouldn't surprise me if he finishes second. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets some first place votes. Francisco Lindor is head and shoulders the best player on the Mets. Pete Alonso is not even close. So that the argument of that is, you know, like Francisco Lindor is a better baseball player all around than Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso is a great slugger. He's an okay defender. Not the best player on the team. And let's talk about the definition of valuable, right? When Shohei Ohtani was out, the Dodgers could still move forward, right? You still had Mookie Betts. You still had Freddie Freeman. You had some combination of them, even though they also had their injury concerns. But they were still there. Francisco Lindor, you can't really say where the Mets would be without Francisco Lindor. He's a 6.4 war. He's a 6.4 war if you believe in war, if that's your thing.
If you believe in war.
If you believe in war. I personally think it's a joke statistic. If you can if there are multiple ways to calculate it, I'm not interested. Right? Because you have Baseball Reference versus FanGraphs versus, like, the moment you have different war statistic calculations, you lost me. So the other thing is that he plays every day. He's played 144 games this year. There's something to that. Like, he's steady Eddie. He's going to be there. And that's important.
Eddie.
But it wouldn't surprise me if he'll get some. Shohei Ohtani's going to get 50-50. He's going to be a 50-50 guy. There's no way ifs, ands, or buts around it. I understand the defense aspect of it, but if you're doing something so historic, it's probably not going to be overlooked. And the media will most likely trip over themselves to give him the award anyway. This is going to be like the LeBron MVP. He could win it every year if the media wants him to, and if he puts up a decent enough year. But Lindor should be in consideration. So should he win it? Probably not. Consideration? Yes. So by the semantics of the statement, I'm going to go foul. The sentiment, fair. Semantics, foul. Pardon me. I have to go to a hair splitters convention.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The Florida State Seminoles. Yes, yeah. 0-2. 0-2, coach. Still playoff eligible. Congratulations. You're alive. But that was last week. This is this week. Who you got for alleged superstar of the week, D?
All right. First up, I've got Russell Wilson. Tomlin decided Russ was not going to be playing because he has a thigh injury or a quad injury, so he was inactive. But that did not stop Russell Wilson from fully suiting up and going through all the pregame warmups. Guess what, Russ? You're not starting next week either. Russell Wilson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Will Levis, pulling a Zach Wilson. Starting quarterback of the Titans, trying to escape a sack. You decided to pitch the ball 10 yards downfield to a wide receiver that was covered. We call this the Zach Wilson. Guess what? The Bears happily took that gift and returned it for 6 points. Will Levis, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Joe Burrow. Despite what Z says, 21 for 29 for 164 yards, where you averaged 8 yards per pass, no touchdowns, no interceptions, going up against the Patriots at home, opening day of the NFL season. That is bum status, brah. Joe Burrow, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
16 teams in the NFL would happily take the bum status that you just mentioned.
I don't think the Jets would. The Jets would love to just keep starting Aaron Rodgers. He's great.
Oh, he's absolutely wonderful. He's absolutely wonderful. But I'm going to start with those Jets. 32-19. Your vaunted championship-level defense. Where was it? I didn't see it. You let Jordan Mason run through you like crap through a goose. Like, this is supposed to be the heart of your team. And what happened? What happened? New York Jets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Cleveland Browns. I'm going to echo that, what I just said about the Jets. You were the number one defense in the league last year. You could not get home against Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, who are starting two rookies on the line? Oof. With Myles Garrett? What? And on top of that, your quarterback, who is being sued for yet another sexual assault. Was that 24 now? I'm pretty sure it's 24 in total. If we're going to keep our ticker going.
That's bad.
That's pretty bad. That's a statistic you do not want to lead the league in. And yet. But it's a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad all the way around for the Cleveland Browns. And dare I say, this is a little bit of karma for getting into bed with Deshaun Watson, knowing what you knew. Cleveland Browns, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Daniel Jones. 52% completion, 186 yards, a 44.3 passer rating. No touchdowns, two picks, getting dragged, getting heckled by your fans, by the home fans as you're leaving, and they weren't telling you your backpack was open. No, they were all up in you. They were all up in your face. This is a make or break, and it sounds like you already broke by that performance. Daboll wants Josh Allen. You gave him Josh Rosen. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know about you. You got your money. Now's the time to deliver. Daniel Jones, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram account at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.